Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
In a week where England heroically avoided the 2013-14 shame of a 5-0 loss, aiming instead for the exalted 2017-18 heights of a 4-0 loss, this is Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
He was determined. The minute I got out there as well tonight, he was absolutely he's telling me exactly what to do. Get a big stride in, smother the ball, don't let the bounce beat your bat. I was like, all right, mate, I've played before, it's fine. You know, I'm not doing it.
You're here with Kat Jones and Dan Lipke, and that was Jimmy Anderson talking about the advice Stuart Broad offered him as he came out to bat in the final couple of overs of that fourth Ashes test.
I think that's good advice for the England openers.
Yeah, I think so too. that clip, of course, is from the Tail Enders podcast, so go listen to the full episode if you want to hear Jimmy's entire thoughts on that outcome of that match.
There's some glorious podcasts where the England cricketers, I think they all have a podcast, yeah, I think they've got one each. Yep. There's plenty of material out there if you want to listen to England cricketers bemoaning the state of the Ashes.
Yes. But I guess the thing that struck me there was that Jimmy Anderson said, I know what I'm doing. Does Jimmy Anderson know what he's doing with the bat in his hand? I mean, he has played a lot of tests. He was right about that.
He knows what he's doing when he comes in at number 11. You know, there's not much expected of him.
I'm not convinced about that.
He knows he's supposed to go out, either go out or end up zero, not out.
Yes.
There's very few possible permutations there.
Yeah. So anyway, he nailed that anyway. He did finish zero, not out as he saved the test facing six balls. And isn't it good to have a test go down to the final ball, especially when it's the final ball is Steve Smith bowling to James Anderson, which is just like the best possible final ball you could hope for. Surely.
It was far better than this test was far better than the previous three.
All three put together. This was fantastic.
Well, there's a turning point in every match, I think you were mentioning there, where Steve Smith's bowling to James Anderson, right? Mm. So there's a turning point in every match that only occurs if the team members are too incompetent to kind of fulfil their or to excel in their alleged specialty.
Yes.
So the turning points occur when the batters start bowling to the bowlers who are batting, right?
Yes.
Which is fantastic. Is it wondrous stuff? Is there any other game? I mean, that doesn't happen in kickball,
No, it doesn't happen in any other sport. That's why cricket's the best sport.
Absolutely.
This is the part of the show where we discuss the cricket news of the week.
Lots of stuff going on in the world of cricket, but we have just time to cover the thrilling fourth Ashes test in Sydney. Or rather, we're not even going to cover it, are we?
No, not the entire test. I don't think we have time to cover the entire test. Mm. I think we're just going to go straight to the interesting bit, which is the final session. We're going to skip the first 14 sessions of the test match.
Yep.
Although, were there any highlights that caught your eye in those 14 sessions before we put them in the rearview mirror?
Well, Cameron Green bowling Ben Stokes and the bail not coming off. That was a genuine highlight.
That was pretty good. I did enjoy Usman Khawaja's century.
Yeah, and I loved Usman Khawaja's other century.
Yes. Yep. Johnny Bairstow, we should probably mention Bairstow's century, where he had a busted finger or thumb or busted hand of some description.
Well done, And also, we can't forget Pat Cummins, evil Pat Cummins.
Yes.
Declaring on Jack Leach's hat trick.
Yes, but we don't have time to discuss any of that.
No. So they were all fun, though.
They were all very good. So we'll just go straight to the final session, which began with England 4 for 174.
So this was England trying to save the match.
I mean, theoretically, they could have got 388 to win it. Mm. But I think mostly they just wanted not to lose six wickets in the final session. But the new ball was looming for Australia, so it was all set up perfectly. It was very tense.
That's right. And Lyon came on to bowl a bit with the old ball, and then Stokes was out of slip.
Yeah, and I particularly liked how Ben Stokes kind of held this dramatic pose of, oh my God, I can't believe I've edged it to slip. He was furious with himself, yeah. And a furious Ben Stokes is always the best kind of Ben Stokes.
Well, it's the only kind.
Yes, yes, but the only kind and the best kind. but eventually the new ball was taken and Pat Cummins produced a new trick out of his bag, didn't he?
Mm, well, he's never bowled full before in his entire life, apparently, no. Or so social media would have you believe.
Yes.
So, of course, bowled a double wicket maiden, got rid of Joss Butler and Mark Wood, and these were both in swinging Yorkers.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. The one to Wood in particular just like smashed into his foot, knocked him over. I think Mark Wood wasn't able to get to his feet in time to make the T sign to review it. Johnny Bairstow has tried to make it and the umpire said, no, Mark Wood has to review it. Like non-striker can't review it for him. So Bairstow's like, review. So he's kind of half on the ground, staggering up, trying to review it. I don't think he wanted to keep batting.
Yeah, if you get up on one elbow. Come on, you're up on one elbow, you can do a T sign.
Yes. Anyway, he did make the T sign, but it didn't really help. He was still sent on his way.
Yeah.
But I did like, there was a quote on Twitter from Chris Williams who said, what an absolute long play to pretend not to have an in-swinger for a decade, which was good work from Pat. Good planning.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And then, of course, Boland came in and does what he does.
Take a wicket.
Now, takes lots of wickets.
Yeah.
And then, so we had sort of Leach brought all the tail enders, Broad and Anderson, just trying to survive the final overs to say light was fading, the minutes were ticking away, and all of our spinners, all of Australia's spinners had to bowl, right?
Yeah, I particularly liked, so at some point the umpire said, no, it's getting too dark, Pat Cummins, you can't bowl anymore. So he had to decide between Steve Smith and Marnus Labuschagne who was going to bowl leg spin. And
did they both have their hands up? Pick me.
Yeah. And a bit surprisingly, he went with Steve Smith because Marnus Labuschagne got the wicket in the previous Ashes series. He got a crucial wicket in the dying overs of a potentially drawn test. Mm. So, but the ball was thrown to Steve Smith, who did get a wicket. He got Jack Leach out, which left, as we heard in the intro, Broad and Anderson just batting out the last two overs between them.
So why don't more of the fast bowlers pull out a spinner when they need to? I mean, light often fades. Mm. I feel like all the fast bowlers should have in their arsenal. Why do we make the batters know how to do part-time spin?
So Ollie Robinson style, you think Cummins should have continued bowling spin?
Yeah.
I like this. Yeah, Cummins could have just come on, bowled some offies. Yeah, presumably he still has decent control when he's slightly slower.
Well, they start talking about variations. You need to have a proper variation. And, you know, you're not just a – everyone should have two things that they can do.
Mm.
If you can bat, you can bowl a bit.
Yep.
If you're a wicketkeeper, you can bat a bit. Yep. And if you're a fast bowler,
you bowl off spin a bit.
You're off spin or a bit of leg spin.
Well, I mean, what Pat Cummins could have done if he said, all right, that's okay, I won't bowl fast, I'll switch to spin umpire. He could have pointed out that, well, Joe Root was bowling spin earlier in the test and he actually bowled a bouncer. So maybe I'll just slip in the odd quicker one here. Yeah. Can I slip in a quicker in-swinging Yorker and see what happens?
Yeah, could be.
That might have required a little bit of extra mischief from
it
Pat Cummins.
It feels like Broad and Anderson might be vulnerable to a slow, not even spinning Yorker.
Yes, yeah, that's true. Yeah, so Anderson did say in that Tail Enders podcast that he was perfectly happy facing spin, but if Pat Cummins had been bowling, you'd have seen a lot more of the whites of my eyes.
Really?
So,
he wouldn't have his eyes shut?
No. Yeah, either eyes wide shut or eyes wide open, but but he didn't specify what would have happened if Pat Cummins was bowling spin, so I think you're definitely onto something there. I also liked Alyssa Healy in the closing moments of the test. She tweeted out, can they call a cheeky drinks break for those of us who need to wee? Can't take my eyes off this. I was just thinking, like, if Mitchell Starc was a decent husband, he would have gone down with cramp or something and given his wife time to duck off to the toilet.
I thought you were going to say if he was a decent husband, he would have put a TV up in the toilet.
Oh, yeah, should have done that too. Yes. Yeah, why doesn't Alyssa Healy have an iPad she can take to the toilet?
Yeah, yeah, look, someone needs to tell her that everyone else takes their iPhone into the toilet. Anyway, so yeah, there were lots of boring people on social media just complaining about the declaration timing, is that
right?
Yeah,
it was all a little bit slow for their liking. Pat Cummins, you know, obviously in retrospect, because Australia couldn't bowl England out, he'd left his declaration too late.
Nah, that's bonkers.
But, yeah, I mean, my counter-argument is, of course, that if he declared any earlier, then he wouldn't have been able to deny Jack Leach a hat-trick attempt by declaring when he did.
Yep.
So I think it's definitely worth sacrificing a 5-0 clean sweep just for that moment.
Yep, absolutely.
Because clean sweeps, they happen all the time. I've seen multiple ones in my life. But Cummins being a mischievous scoundrel, that might be our once-in-a-lifetime event.
Please support capitalism by checking out these sponsors.
Okay, this week's episode is sponsored by The Ashes Screenplay, which is heading into its final chapter.
That's sad.
I know, but as we've alluded to, Pat Cummins has turned evil, so that's part of the screenplay. And we do still have James Anderson and Stuart Broad. They're having a delightful tour. And Steve Smith still doesn't know who Marcus Harris is, so it's all coming together.
Yeah, it is.
And you can get fully up to date by reading the deleted scenes, which are available over on patreon.com/leadcricket. So for just $3 a month, you can get access to those and any other projects that may or may not be in the planning stages.
There could be some Women's Ashes projects, right?
There may be, yes. We will have to wait and see. Anyway, sign up there to show your support. That's patreon.com/leadcricket.
I was approached by a man who I later discovered to be a bookmaker from India. I was fined $10,000 and paid my fine immediately. I realised and accept fully that my actions were naive and stupid. I realised that I was very naive and stupid and stupid and stupid.
So here we are in Kat's gambling corner. We're going to bring everybody up to date on Kat's latest gambling antics and whether she has been naive and stupid.
And who in the intro sting paid his bill immediately?
I think that was Mark Waugh paying the bill immediately.
If there's nothing that's more suspicious about the fact that you've been doing too much gambling is if you can afford to pay your fine immediately.
Yes, that's true.
Anyway, yeah. We do have some bets that are still alive. I was hoping for 5 results in the Ashes, of course, but I put bets on there being only 3 or 2 or 1 result.
Yep. And or 0.
That's right. And so far, we've had 3 results and 1 draw. So my bet for 3-0 is still alive.
Still alive. Only just, though. You need a draw in the final test in Hobart. Or a tie. A tie will get you there.
I would prefer a tie.
A tie would be fantastic, wouldn't it? That'd be a very good way to end it. And I also had some bets. I had birthday presents put on from my brother, and they had both the England and Australian whitewashed. Both of those disappeared very well. One just recently, but one much more quickly than that. But I'm still alive. I still have a Steve Smith most runs and a Pat Cummins most wickets combo. That's technically alive. And
these have to come off?
Both of them have to come off. So Steve Smith is currently 7th on the run scorer list. He's 69 behind Marnus, who's at the top of the list.
This might be his worst performance in an Ashes for some time.
But he might make a 5th test surge. So fingers crossed for that. Man, score 150-odd might get him over the line.
Yeah.
Not impossible. And Pat Cummins is 3rd on the list of wicket takers. He's only 2 behind Nathan Lyon, who's at the top. But he's equal with Scott Boland, who's only played 2 tests.
It's really not fair. It took Lyon years to get his 400th wicket. And now that he's broken the seal, he's going to diddle you out of a nice little tidy sum of cash, presumably.
Yeah, well, the tidy sum of cash is $325. So right. I'm really hoping that the captain and vice-captain lead from the front in the final test.
Yes, I feel like there's a bit of a chance of Smith topping the wickets.
Oh, that would be good. Not quite sure that gets me any money, but it'd be definitely worthwhile.
It'll be fun.
I can't bowl, can't throw, coming live. Thanks for tuning in and taking your time. The underappreciated act of the week. The funniest and crazy plays of the week. Who is going to join the honorary board? The number one Scott Moeller reward.
The Moeller Award for underappreciated acts in the world of cricket this week. And we have Marnus and Steve Smith again. Are they in an elevator again?
No, they're not, sadly, but they may have been. I wasn't keeping track of them, but Marnus did a Q&A on Twitter. So he said, ask me anything, I'll answer as many questions as I can. He answered like 10. I don't think he got too carried away. Mm. But one of the questions was, have you ever got Steve Smith's wicket in the nets? And Marnus replied, yes, but he would never admit it.
Ooh.
And that kind of Steve Smith's spider sense got tingling, and he piped in and said, never been close to getting me out, Marnus. and then Marnus ended the conversation with, told you he wouldn't admit it. So I think that's 1-0 to Marnus on that one. But a very good comedy routine from the two of them.
I also want to know whether Steve Smith was tagged, or is he just
I don't think he was tagged.
He's got Marnus on Notify,
yeah,
hasn't
definitely.
He?
Definitely. Definitely has Marnus on Notify. What else have we got?
Well, the ICC apparently is partnering with some new advertising company to unveil Cricktos.
Yes.
Cricktos, C-R-I-C-T-O-S, which is an official and exclusive range of digital collectibles, whatever that means.
Yeah, so I think we briefly hinted at this when it was in the prototype stage, a couple of months ago. They were talking about these NFTs and they were
Well, it should never have got out of the prototype stage.
No, definitely not.
Right?
Definitely not. But yeah, it all sounds pretty terrible.
So if they've now been launched, surely you're making this up.
No, they're I don't think they've actually launched it. I think they're onto the next stage. Like they've found a partner in which to, run the supercomputers that create NFTs or whatever the hell.
Can
they
you
have
eat
to
them?
Do. No,
sounds
they
like
can't.
You can
they,
eat them.
They do sound like something.
What flavor are cryptos?
You go in a you know a pint and a packet of packet of cryptos, please.
Yeah, cheese flavored. Yes, presumably.
Yes, but no, cryptos are just NFTs. But the cryptos was also we've actually licensed cryptos.com. So well, that's our we set that aside for our podcast spin-off series on great cricketing toes. And, wow. And we did have a few episodes already worked out. We had Jeff Thompson's sand shoe crushes, and I think we can now add Pat Cummins' sand shoe crushes in there now. We had episode two, which was Johnny Bairstow.
Oh, yes. Just based on his toe. Yeah, yep. He's got a toe in his name.
And then we had episode 3 to 9, which was Martin Guptill's toes, one at a time.
Why are they so famous?
Because he's missing two of them.
Right.
And
okay.
Episode 10 to be announced.
Why does there have to be 10?
I don't know.
Is it because there's 10 toes for most people?
Yes.
Anyway, I have news for you. I've secured an interview with the toe that peeks out of the hole in Mitchell Stark's bowling
excellent.
Boot.
Oh, that's episode 10 then.
Yeah, that's episode 10.
Sorry, ICC. Crick toes is coming at a completely different direction.
So what's next on the mullet list? Because I think crick toes is going to be hard to beat for the mullet.
Well, we've got the BBL, which is and in particular the Scorchers v Stars match. And this is probably
Still going on, despite the fact that there's only two or three people in the entire comp that haven't tested positive for COVID.
Yeah, right? And there's probably two or three people in Australia still watching it, I think.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, the Scorchers v Stars, Laurie Evans for the Scorchers took 2 runs off the last ball of Zampa's over, which was the 10th of the innings.
He's just someone's dad, isn't he?
I think so, yeah.
He's not actually a player.
And then they had a drinks break. And then despite taking an even number of runs off the last ball of the 10th over, he decided he'd pop himself back on strike in the 11th over. The umpires didn't notice this. The Scorchers took the power surge. And then Evans hit Harris Ralph for 17 off the over that he shouldn't have been facing. So that was a little bit controversial.
Yeah, there should be more of that.
A little bit of scheming from the Scorchers. That feels like the kind of thing that Justin Langer, previous coach of the Scorchers, would very much endorse.
Oh, yes. Deliberate. Well, you know, if you're filling in, maybe you don't know the rules that well.
Exactly, yes. What else have we got?
I've got Sam Billings, who's been playing for the Thunder in the BBL, who had to drive the length of Australia, presumably all the way from the Gold Coast down to Hobart, to be on standby for the various injured English players, particularly the injured English wicketkeepers.
Yes.
I think most of the wicketkeepers in England are injured at the moment.
Yeah, all of them.
So this got me thinking, Dan, the English players always complain that they don't get enough preparation in Australian conditions when they tour for the Ashes. So should all the England players be forced to do a full day road trip before they start the first test?
Yeah, they should all start different corners, and they should all drive to a ground that's chosen at random, you know, Lismore Oval, and they all have to drive from South Australia or Brisbane or wherever, and they all arrive there. They have a hit out against, you know, Caxi.
Yep.
And that's
well, amazing
warm-up.
Race style. They should be forced to somehow find their own petrol, get their own snacks, know how to change a tyre when they get a puncture on some terrible remote freeway. They have to be able to drive a four-wheel drive in sandy conditions.
Yep. They can set up roadblocks for one another. They've got little mini challenges to do along the way. We completely embrace the amazing race.
And then they'll be able to handle if it's a road, if it's got grass on it. Like, they'll be able to handle all sorts of conditions. So no better way of playing like an Aussie than to do a road trip. It could be a match-winning strategy. Anyway, we'll soon find out if Sam Billings is player of the match in Hobart, right?
Yes, yep.
Or indeed if he even plays.
If he plays, yeah.
he did say himself on social media, it would be a very Sam Billings thing to do to drive 9 hours to run the drinks.
Well, because he was like just, about, I don't know, a couple of hours away from getting on a plane to start heading off to the West Indies to play the white ball stuff they've got over there. So he's aborted any chances of doing that. Yeah, they might actually win that one.
So do they actually have a keeper for that white ball stuff? Because it feels like we've got some white ball keepers playing in the Ashes as well. So that's going to be fun for whoever has to take the gloves in the West Indies.
I think they've put Ollie Pope on a plane. He's heading over there to take over the white ball stuff. We've also got Bangladesh against New Zealand. So Bangladesh beat New Zealand in a test match. This came to a climax in the as we had a rain delay on the first day of the Sydney test.
Fantastic.
A very thoughtful rain delay from Sydney. And then Bangladesh backed that up a week later by losing by an innings and 117 runs. So not the most consistent team in world cricket.
Oh, well. But there was a 7, an all-run 7.
Well,
yeah. Oh, no, no, four and a three.
Four overthrow, yeah. So it's even better than that because it came about from a dropped catch at slip, which went behind the keeper and basically rolled almost all the way to the boundary for four, but didn't. So they ran three. And then the keeper decided to have a wild ping at the bowler's end, missed the stumps, and it raced away to the boundary. And then the poor old bowler who just had a chance dropped off him had to sprint after the ball and just failed to drag it into the boundary. So one of the better sevens you'd like to see.
A wicket turning into a seven for the other side is fantastic.
Yes. And we also had Ross Taylor in that match, who I think can also have his own nomination because what did Ross Taylor do on the final ball of the match?
Well, he was bowling. So he took the last wicket of the match, which was only the third of his entire test career because he doesn't bowl that often. And so he finishes with a fantastic bowling average of 16. And that goes with, of course, his batting average close to 50, right?
So yeah, 44.6, yeah.
Yep. So he's a genuine all-rounder.
Ross Taylor. I think he's retired too soon. He could have reinvented himself as the new Scott Boland with a bowling average like that.
Definitely. The new Steve Smith.
Yes. Aim high. And then I think this is the final one. We've got a little bit of an awkward conversation between Moen Ali and Sir Alastair Cook on BT Sports.
Yep.
This one popped up on social media. So they were talking about, I think they were talking about which players could in the England team could go on to become coaches. And Moen took the opportunity to have a bit of a go at Cook about this because he said basically that Joe Root has more of an emotional attachment to his players, unlike Cook, which is perfectly reasonable. We all know Cook was a robot, and so you can't be expected to show emotions to his players.
Mm.
But then Cook kind of was a little bit taken aback, and he tried to regain some ground. He pointed out that unlike Joe Root, he had never dropped Mo from the side. And Moen then said, "That's true, but he also batted me from 1 to 9 in my first year of international cricket." So he wasn't backing down. And basically the conversation eventually ended with Cook saying, "Well, I'm not sure how to take this anymore. I've just come back from a nice holiday and I've walked straight into Moen Ali off his long run." So that's the kind of thing you get when you're watching BT Sport.
Yeah, that's right. And Moen Ali says bowling bounces to Cook there.
So what's going to win this one?
Oh, the Crick Toast.
Yeah, Crick Toast are terrible. Yeah, so congratulations.
Not the original Crick Toast. Our podcast. Made-up podcast about Crick Toast.
Yes.
In particular, I think we'll give it to episode 7 of Martin Gupdal's Toast.
Yes, well done. And I think that's it. So you've been listening to Dan Lipke. I'm at Lieb Cricket on Twitter. And you've also been listening to Kat Jones, and she's at Cricket Bat Cat on Twitter.
And you can search for us at Can't Bowl Throw, and you can patronise Dan if you like.
Yes.
And we will talk to you again next week.
Bye.
Podcast Network.